Good morning. Good to see you. Appreciate you being with us as we go to Revelation in chapter number 17. And it seems like the deeper we get into this, the harder it gets. So I am not completely satisfied with the study that I've done in portion of this 17th chapter because of how far back it goes and how deep it goes. So I might sometime, if the Lord leads that away, I might sometimes come back into a few things that we have mentioned in this 17th chapter and go a little bit more in depth with who this is talking about and why it is like it is. They so much involved in this that you'd almost need to have a study of these scriptures that we have here in reference to Babylon and the Roman Empire and all those things to do it justice. So I might do that. But I do thank you for your presence. Thank you for all those who are joining us by way of internet. You know, it's great that we do have the internet service. As you know, the situation with Francis and myself when, you know, she's on Dallas's for 12 hours every night, so, you know, we've got to come in and start getting prepared and put her on Dallas's so that keeps us at home at night, and it keeps us away from a lot of things, but the main thing, it keeps us away from church. But we can still listen to it. But it's not like being here. And last Sunday night, one of those special times, that it really hurts when you can't be here. So if you'll allow me, why should I love the Lord? I didn't have an opportunity last Sunday night, but if you bear with me, I'd like to this Sunday morning. Why should I love the Lord? Who is the Lord? He is the creator of the universe. He is an all power and an almighty and an all knowing and an all presence God Almighty. Now, I love him because he's my father. And I love my spiritual father. He blessed me with a natural mother and daddy that loved him. And because of that, they brought me to Benson Grove Baptist Church. But in the process, they introduced me because of the foundation of Benson Grove Baptist Church. They introduced me to a wonderful Savior. Not only did they introduce me to the Lord God Almighty, but they introduced me also to His Son, Jesus Christ, who gave that supreme sacrifice, died on Calvary's tree for my sins. And that's one thing that I've got to say about Benson Grove. And I think back with all those pastors and all those people who have been a part of Benson Grove, and we've always stood on the solid foundation that it's Christ and Christ only for saving grace, God's gift to the world. But you know, even though he's blessed me with a tremendous wife, a tremendous family in my sight, you might not see it as I do. But see, we're looking at it and that on the natural side. For 63 years, he's blessed me the most precious wife in the world. None better. But where does that put us on the spiritual side. That don't do anything for us on the spiritual side. So here I am, separated from God because of sin. So what did he do? He said, son, I sure would love to adopt you in the family of God. He sent his son to pay that price. He sent the Holy Spirit to do a work in my heart at 12 years old to trust in him, asked him to save my soul, walking down beside the field, going to feed the hogs with a bag of corn on my back. But the main thing that day, the Holy Spirit was walking along with me. And you know, if you're over at home place and you're looking north, we're high enough. I've seen the fireworks at Raleigh at the State Fair. I could see the water tank at Four Oaks, the water tank at Smithfield, water tank at Clayton. I could see the white band on Cleveland School before the trees grew up so bad on top of the pack house. I could also see Francis get off the school bus on top of the pack house, too, with a pair of binoculars. So that day, as I walked along,
that afternoon,
night, as I walked along and was looking above the tree line, and I don't know, but in my mind, I could see the old rugged cross just plain as day sitting on the tree line. And the song that came in my mind, on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross. And that emblem of sin and shame. But on that old cross, you know, he paid that sacrifice. And that afternoon, God made it real to me. Having a revival over an old church, Preacher Hellion was preaching the revival. That night I made it public that I had been adopted into the family of God. And why should I not love God? Why should I not love my Lord? Because he has adopted me into his family, and I'm his child, and he's my father. And I thank the Lord for an opportunity for all these years to try to teach his precious word. Sometimes I think you don't do a very good job at it, but I thank you for an opportunity anyway. Thank you for putting up with me. Lord, I thank you this morning now for your precious word. Lord, I need your help today. I ask you to walk with us through it now that we might come to know it in a deeper and a truer meaning. Lord, help us to understand that you're an almighty God, that you're a loving God, that you're a merciful God, a God of grace. Well, Lord, your precious word said you're also a God of judgment, long-suffering, but after a while, patience runs out. Lord, help us to see and understand that you loved us, you saved us, you've given opportunities for the world, but the world don't want you. And Lord, you have a plan that you're going to fulfill for those who reject you. Bless us now as we study together today in the name of Christ. We do pray.
Amen.
Now, as we look, I told you last Sunday, Let's go back, if you will, 17th chapter, and I'm going to read through these verses again. But I'm going to read for a particular reason, and like I say, I might come back to these, to this chapter sometime later. Now the beast that was in verse 17th chapter in verse number 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. I want you to notice that statement. Here is the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, let me bring you back to where we are, with those that might have missed last Sunday. We had a beast that had the seven heads and the 10 horns, and then we had the woman in the scarlet written, riding on that beast. Now, remember, she's riding the beast. Now, the beast, we know to be Antichrist. We know that here we have the harlot woman, the mystery Babylon, the devil's church. So what we see in this is we see the copy of the true church of God. You know, we have the Lord, and we have Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit. Well, here we have Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And what we're seeing as we look at this in Revelations, as we've gone deep into the book of Revelations here, we're in the latter part of the 7 years of tribulation. And we're at the point now that the devil is establishing his state and universal church. He wants to be like Christ. In the process of doing this, he's going to have rule over all the worship that goes on through his universal church. And in the process of this, he's going to also have control of finances, so to speak. Just all the nations are going to be under him. And he's going to be the rule and authority over those. So now, let's go back for just a moment. And this is the reason I said we need to study this in depth. If we go back and we look at the Roman Empire, Roman Empire has been one of the strongest empires, was at the time that we see it exists. It's one of the strongest empires that we've known. But under the Roman Empire, the nation of Israel was under their control probably more than any other nation in any other time. And they brought chaos on the Jewish people and God's chosen people. Remember, it comes to the point that some of them were even bathed in oil and put on stakes and burned alive to give light. You know, we read back to those horrible things. We look at this, the nation of Israel, and it was divided under their captivity and their bondage. You had your northern tribe and your southern tribe. You know, a separation of the nation of Israel. How many nations that you know of could withstand such as that? What does that do? That weakens them. If our nation was divided apart and you had the north and the south Do you think that's going to strengthen our nation or weaken our nation? You going to think that's going to make our nation more vulnerable or less vulnerable? So we know what it's going to do. So, you know, here's the devil working in all this. He's trying to destroy the nation of Israel. And I think that when we look at these seven mountains, we're going to see, if you go back and you study, there's been seven kings of the Roman Empire. I think we have a rebirth here now of that Roman Empire. And if you'll notice that it says in that verse number 9, in the seven heads were seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. So now who's going to be in charge at this point? See, the woman is the woman that's in authority. And what Satan, when you see her back early in the 17th chapter, and you see her sitting on that beast, that means that beast is supporting her, is carrying her, and is providing her to accomplish these things that she's going to accomplish. In other words, he giving his total power and strength to her to bring forth what he wants to bring forth. And in this case, it's that Mr. Babylon, that harlot church. And he's promoting that in a great way. In verse number 10, he says, and there are seven kings, five are fallen. And one is, and the other is not yet come. So we got one that's coming, we got future coming also. And when he cometh, he must continue what? A short while, or a short span, or a short time. And the beast that was, now we know here it is, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. Now notice it talks about seven kings in verse number 10. And in verse number 11 it says, and he is the eighth. And then notice this, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. So he is a part of the seven, but he's number eight. So he's going to play a role in this too. And it says, in the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with who? With the beast. So now where are they going to get their power and where are they going to get their authority? See, their power and their authority and their kingdom is going to come through and by the power of the beast. So here we have the woman that's gaining her power, being pushed by Satan. Now we have these kings that are going to set up, and they're going to be pushed and powered by the beast also. So now we're going to come to the point that you have the universal church, and then you have a kingdom totally dominated by Antichrist and Satan. So now the religious factor in the world and the economical and commercial factor in the world, who are they going to be dominated by? They're going to be dominated by Satan through her and Antichrist. Well, what's that going to lead to? Well, we know what it's going to lead to. But there's one particular verse in this 17th chapter that tells the whole story. And we'll get to that one in just a moment. He said, the ten horns which thou sawest, the ten kings which have received no kingdom, but yet come, it's coming for a space of an hour. These have one mind. Now, you can underline that. All these kings have one mind. Why do they have one mind? Because of who's dominating them, who's in control of them. He said they got one mind and shall give their power and strength unto who? Unto the beast. So here, all these kings are going to put all their power and all their authority under the beast. So you see what we're talking about? He's getting to be the supreme power, the supreme reign here on this earth. He's getting everything lined up. Satan's busy. And these shall make war. So what's the reason that he's doing all this? Here is that reason, see. The Battle of Armageddon's coming. All the ways are being fashioned so that that might take place. Remember, we talked about just prior to this that the river Euphrates dried up. The way for the what? The kings of the north. We're getting ready for the Battle of Armageddon, and everything is beginning to line up. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall have to fight like everything. I think my Bible says, and he's going to do what? He's going to overcome. It's real hard for God, isn't it? He's just going to overcome. He overcomes them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. How you like that? Do you know you're called? You know you're chosen? Who we've been faithful? And now what we're going to do, we're just going to stand by here and watch him overcome. And it's no problem for God to overcome. He speaks and it's done. Look at the universe we live in. He spoke and it was done. You know, the older I get, the more pains and problems I have. The more you realize this old body is an unusual piece of equipment. I don't see how it works one day. Saved my life. But it was fashioned by God. And this reason it works as well as it does. And if Adam and Eve hadn't messed up in the Garden of Eden, we wouldn't have to worry about all suffering and shame that we have to put up with. But one of these days that's going to be behind us too. Won't that be a great hallelujah day? Verse number 15, and he saith unto me, the waters. Now we referred that back. If you look at 17th chapter, the first verse, it says, she sitteth upon many waters, that harlot, Babylon. Now, here it tells you, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, because of what she is, are peoples and multitudes, and notice nations and tongues, headquartered out of the new Roman Empire in Babylon. The Roman Empire is coming back. That's what we see being fulfilled here. In Revelation 17th chapter. It's going to come back for a short while. It's going to come back with power and authority for a short while. But it's not going to last very long. Notice it talked about the 10 kings. It says for a short space, for a short time, because destruction's coming to them. Now, watch these next few verses. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. You say, wait a minute. My Bible says it's going to come to the point that they're going to hate her. See, the devil's not going to let anybody take his place but so long. The reason that she's involved in this is she's been used to accomplish what he wants to be accomplished. And the devil will do exactly that. When he takes us down a road and gets marred down in the mire, he don't care. It don't bother him a bit in the world. All he wants to do is take you from the high and put you in the low. Don't bother him a bit. And all he's done here, he's used this woman to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. He's got his universal church. He's got the power and authority. And now he's used her to accomplish that, and he's through with her. He's not the loving, merciful God that we know. God tried to take us out of it, and he tried to put us in it. So what's going to happen? The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. And notice the next word, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So they're going to totally destroy her. Now we'll come to that a little bit later. For God hath put, now I want you to, if you ever mark your Bible anywhere at any time, you better color this one out. For God hath put it in their what? Not just mind, the depth of the soul, as deep as it can be put. God has put something there. To fulfill his will. Now, you mark that one. She thinks she's doing something. The devil thinks he's doing something. Antichrist thinks he's doing something. Well, they are. They're doing what? The will of God. Can you believe that? He's building a death trap for his own self. Yeah, I like that, don't you? I love that, boy. Building a death trap for his own self. And to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until, notice that one little word, until what? Until the words of the Lord shall, so it tells us we're looking in the future, shall be what? Fulfilled. So what do you see in that verse? God's got a plan, God's in authority, and God's going to fulfill his plan. And in Johnson County English, there ain't nobody going to stop him. He's in authority. And it don't make any difference who likes it or who don't like it. It's his plan, it's his authority, and he's accomplishing it. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So what was her position? See, it says she reigneth over the kings of the earth. But he's through with her. Satan's through with her. Don't know what's going to happen to her. We're fixing to go in chapter number 18. Chapter number 18 is going to tell you what's going to happen. The more I study this and the deeper I study this, I can't imagine what it would be like during the tribulation period. We do not have the ability. Our little old peewee minds can't comprehend what's going on here and the pain and suffering that's going on. But notice in verse number 1 in chapter number 18, and after these things, here comes something else. And here's how it's going to be accomplished. after I saw all these things and after I've been told all these things, here it goes. It's coming to pass. It's prophesied. He said, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Now here is, go back to that mystery Babylon, go back to that whore that's sitting on the beast. This is who we're talking about. In chapter number 17, verse number 5, it says, and upon her forehead was name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth. So this is the church we're talking about. Now what's going to happen to her? It's going to tell you what's going to happen to her, but it's going to tell you what she was involved in the process. So here is this Babylon that is fallen, fixing to be nothing. He says, and is become. It describes what she became. It become the habitation of devils and the hole of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through her abundance and her delicacies. So now who was in charge? Now notice the merchants. So it's the whole of the universe. She's like a god of the universe. And everything is under her control and under her authority. But she is the pure devil himself. Because you look at all those things. It says she had become the habitation of what? Now that does not say devil. That says devils, demons. Possessed by demons. And all those foul spirits and unclean things. In other words, anything that you can think of that's sinful, she is it. She's the depth of it. And she's caused everybody else to be involved. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, that ye receive not of her plague. So here's that warning again, and we could put that warning out today too. To anybody that don't know Christ in saving grace, you have an opportunity today. Today is the day of salvation. You better make sure that you're in a right standing with God Almighty, because you could wake up in the morning in the tribulation period. Because the moment God returns for the rapture of the church, the tribulation period begins. Just like that. Better make sure of our standing. Now I want you to notice verse number 5. I'll mark that one also. For her sins. Her what? Her sins. What have they done? Have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Now let me bring you back to remind you of something. You remember God's word records a flood? And what did it say about man? His thoughts and imaginations were only what? Evil, and they were evil continuously. And what did he do to the world in that day? He brought a flood, didn't he? But you know something? He had his people that he brought out of that, didn't he? He had a safe haven for those. But he says he's remembered that her iniquity. Now he's speaking, and what's he saying? Now that I have remembered her iniquity, like he had to remember it, he knew it all the time. But we got to get it down to our level. He said, you might think I've forgotten it, but I'm not. See, it's his timetable, it's not our timetable. He says, reward her even as she rewarded you. And what? And double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. Well, now we're going to go a little bit farther on in the Revelations. We're going to find over in Revelations, the white throne judgment, we're going to find that those who know not Christ stand, and it says they're judged according to those things which are written in the books. So God don't forget. So here, what does he do? He says, you punish her according to her service. Her evil service, the depth of her evil service, the depth of her sin, you punish her accordingly. What's that going to bring? We'll get there. In verse number 7, how much she hath glorified herself. Notice what it starts off with. And she's lived how? Oh man, she's lived deliciously. She's lived great. And so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart. Notice that word, underline it, put a circle around it. I said a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. You can deny all you want to that there is not a God. You can deny all you want to there's not a hell. You can say whatever you want to about it, but that don't change God's mind nor God's position. You know, what has she said? Oh, I'm a queen. I've got everything. I have need of nothing. They can't anybody do anything with me. I'm the it of today. And I am no, and I see no sorrow. Therefore, now God comes into picture again, and I've got to close too, don't I? Therefore shall her plague come in what? One day. Death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who, what? Judgeth her. Don't tell me he's not a God of judgment. He's a God of judgment. It's his plan. He's going to take care of it. My time's gone. Lord, thank you again for the day and those who are present. Lord, use these stumbling words and implant them in the right perspective in someone's heart and mind, that they might glorify you more today than they did yesterday. In thy name we do pray. Amen.